Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and everybody else that wants to listen in and study God's Word together. And let me remind you that this is not no in-depth, real, I don't know how you would want to put it, doctrinal, more than I can know, in-depth, deep study. This is the ABCs of Christian growth. This is what every Christian that's been born again, that's in a local New Testament church assembly, should be finding out about the Bible. And this is what pastors ought to be teaching and feeding the flock with, this kind of stuff here. There's a lot of Christians in the world today that have absolutely no idea what they talk about fundamentals, and they talk about independent fundamental Bible believing and this, that, and the other. But if you ask some questions to and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying there's a lot of a majority of in Christianity, in Christendom right now, to where the sheep ain't getting fed. And that's what this study's about. And it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the Word of God. The Word of God is what feeds us and keeps us. It's our strength. It's our mercy. It's everything to us. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And God's Word is everything. And as soon as you find that out and you begin believing it, you're gonna understand Christianity and be able to communicate with the Lord and much, much easier and much better. And you'll be able to function as a Christian. The Bible says those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can't pretend with the Lord. We can, but it's not going to do you any good. As soon as we get sincere with the Lord, and sincere with ourselves of really what we want to do with the Lord. A lot of people look like they want a lot to do with the Lord, but in their heart they want to put the Lord in a closet most of the time until they get ready to get him out. You know, that's not sincerity, and that's not really having a relationship with the Lord. The Lord is the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person in the world. He is everybody in the scripture that tries to describe the Lord. One of the most things that I have heard them say in the scriptures is that, and read about, is that they can't find any words for him. He's beyond words, and he is. We can say that he's wonderful and he's magnificent. He's majestic. He's holy. He's just. He's all in all. He's forever and forever. He's from Alpha and the Omega, and we got all this in the scriptures that we can say about him. But there are no words to describe the Lord. And when you get a hold of that, and you'll start appreciating the Lord a lot more, and you'll want to talk to him, and have a relationship with him. And having said that, that's what we're studying right now, is prayer. We started that in our last lesson. We've got one recording so far in this. This is the second recording in study number 16, the letter P, and that's for prayer. And just to recap just a little bit, we had an introduction to prayer and talked a little bit about it from Psalm 78, 1 through 7, and Psalm chapter 64, verse 1, and how this world is so busy and it has no interest anymore in speaking with the Lord or talking with the Lord or having any kind of relationship with the Lord. And the enemy, one of the things that the enemy, the strategy of the enemy, your adversary, the devil, one of the things that he's very busy about, and you can find that out when you go to trying to have a prayerful relationship with the Lord, and not necessarily just a hut 2, 3, 4 and real religious prayer with God. I'm talking about having a sincere relationship with the Lord and wanting to speak with Him and talk with Him. Most people that know the Lord walk throughout their day talking with the Lord all day long. And you will begin to do that. And the more you get to know the Lord, you'll begin to do that also. But the enemy, one of the things that I think is priority on his list as far as attacking the Christians nowadays is communication. If you can cut, in a war, if you can cut one of the first things that they do in a war is to cut the communications. The first thing that the jets go to find is how the enemy communicates and blow them things to pieces so that they can't talk to one another. And if the enemy can stop you from talking with the Lord, and he's got you almost whipped, and then if he can take that Bible away from you, take God's Word away from you where he can't talk to you, you're done for. The Bible tells us that it's God's Word, and it's through prayer, and that's the communication that we have between us and the Lord, and the Lord and us. So we need to understand that the prayer is much more important than just saying, well, I've talked to God today. We talked about what is prayer, and in answering prayer, it's hard to define what prayer is. I mean, how would you define your communication with your children? If somebody asks you, well, how do you communicate with your children? I mean, prayer is specific. When we say prayer, we're talking about talking to God. But the word pray means to ask. It means to ask. Now, every time we talk to the Lord, we don't necessarily talk to the Lord, especially when you begin to have a personal relationship with the Lord and really can't do without talking to Him. Because the Lord does communicate with us. God the Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And when you talk to the Lord talks back with you. And I've laughed with the Lord before. Yes, I really, really, really have. And it was funny because He pulled one over on me and it was funny. The Lord's got a sense of humor. You better believe that. I'll tell you about that sometime. But it was funny, and we both laughed at the same time, and it was one of the most special things I've ever had in my life as far as just sitting there palling around with the Lord. It was like He slapped me on the shoulder and laughed with me. He didn't laugh at me. He laughed with me. And we'll get into some of that kind of studying in one of our other letters. We talk about that and the Lord's character and personality and things about the Lord Himself. But prayer means to ask. We talked about that last lesson. And in the Scriptures, we talked in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." The Bible says that we can come to the Lord boldly, and we can talk to Him, and that the Lord wants to talk to us. But one thing that we have to remember about talking with the Lord is, I mean, it don't take much to figure out how we should talk with the Lord. Now, we're studying that, and we're going to go over that, about what the Bible says about things like that. But it don't take anybody with any kind of special brains or education to learn how to talk to the Lord. He's God. How do you talk to God? I mean, that's not hard to figure out. You can ask 5-year-old, 6-year-old children in Sunday school and get them together and say, "Okay, children, if you got to talk to God today, how would you talk to Him? Would you talk to Him in a mean way? You ever talk to God in a mean way? No. Well, would you?" you can talk to little kids and they can give you answers, good answers, about how you're supposed to talk to God. Now, when we get educated and we get grown up and mature and everything else, we have problems with how we talk to God because we have problems with how we talk to one another. You see, when we talk to each other, it could get to the point where we can cuss each other out and don't care, which Christians ought to care and ought to have a conscience better than that they couldn't do that. But, I mean, that's the way communication is in the world. And as long as it does something for me. But when you're talking to a deity, the deity, God, it's a whole different story, especially when you get to know him and you love him and you respect him and you adore him. And it's really neat. It's special. And you probably know more about it than I do, but the Lord is the one that teaches us to pray. As we grow in our faith and we grow in the Lord, the Holy Ghost teaches us and kind of is very tender with us as we're coming up and partaking of the milk and then we get on some of the meat and of the word, and the Holy Ghost is very tender with us to teach us how to talk to God and teach us how to not talk to God. You see, I remember there was one guy that I knew when I was running a ministry up in Pennsylvania for troubled men. And there was one fellow that was in the program, and he told me one time, and it sent me to shivering. I might have told you about this in one of the other letters, but he told me that one time he was so mad at God, he looked up at God and he told him, he said, "You come on down here and I'll gouge your eyes out." I just don't know if I could say that to the Lord, do you? I'm more scared of the Lord than that. You know, I didn't get saved because of everything that I knew about heaven and all the good things about the Lord and all the good things about the kingdom and about the Lord setting up the millennium. And I didn't know anything about all that stuff. I didn't know anything about good having to do with the Lord. What I knew about the Lord was that he had all the authority and he had the power to back it up, and that he also said that there was a place called hell and that he could put me in there forever. And that's why I came to the Lord. I came to the Lord out of fear because I didn't want the Lord to put me in hell, and the Lord made me a way out and he said, "You better take it." And I took it. You better believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ. And a man is a fool not to take the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord has done for us. If a person turns down Jesus Christ, they are a fool. Because God made it so easy. I mean, why wouldn't he put people in hell for denying what the Lord has done and been through and troubled himself for vile people like us? You know? But talking about prayer, and we get to talk to this God that has been through so much for us. We get to talk to him. What is prayer? Prayer means to ask, according to the scriptures. And prayer is asking for anything. Remember that? And prayer is asking for everything. Now, when the Bible talks about anything and everything, I mean, it's in a common sense way, like we was talking about the little children. What can you ask the Lord for? Well, okay, now what can you not ask the Lord for? I mean, they can answer those things real easy. But when you get grown up and you become an adult, those questions become harder. Or not harder to answer. They're just not as sincere answers as they are when you're a child. You see, kids are pretty good with the Lord. They know how to communicate with the Lord. They know how to talk to him, and they know how not to talk to him. And as we grow, we become so stuck on ourselves and proud and uppity and got your nose up in the air and your chin out there and your chest out and everything else, and you think you can just say any old thing that you want to say to the Lord. Or you can not talk to Him at all. And boy, I bet he wishes I would talk to Him. You know? But prayer, let's go on into the next study, and let me quit yapping. But the next topic, we talked about what is prayer, and the thing that we're going to talk about first now is why should we pray? Why? Why should we pray? Well, there's two topics that we're going to talk about when it comes to why should we pray. The very first one, the Bible teaches that prayer is both two different things. It teaches that prayer is a command, and it teaches that prayer is a privilege. And both of those are absolutely true, and all of us can bear witness with that, can't we? Prayer is a command. And aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you got a God that didn't just come down here and save you and give you the instructions of how to come to Jesus, and you live by faith, and then says, okay, don't bother me? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad the Lord saved us, and then He said, okay, now I'm commanding you to talk to me? What a wonderful and beautiful and kind God that would do something like that. Now, that's the attitude that we need to be taking when it comes to talking with the Lord. You see, the enemy is the one that's filling your mind and your conscience up with all this junk about being guilty and not being worthy to come to the Lord and blabbity, blabbity, and all them lies that he tells you all the time. He tells us all those lies. And one thing that he fights trying to look for a word that's appropriate for that. One thing that the devil fights is to keep you from talking to God. And you ain't never going to on purpose go to a prayer meeting by yourself to meet with the Lord that you're not going to hear 30 or 40 different things that the devil's telling you that you need to do, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, you need to brush your teeth, you need to shine your shoes, you need to make sure you're sure everything, blah-bitty-blah, anything to keep you from addressing the Lord. Anything. Anything. And if he's fighting you from talking with the Lord, then you're doing right. But you wait until when you get down and you get serious and you get sincere that you're going to talk with the Lord no matter what, you'll find out how much the enemy doesn't want you to. And it's nothing to be scared of, because he can't stop you unless you let him. But when you go to prayer, I mean, he's going to be sitting there talking in your ears and trying to remind you of things and tell you how unworthy you are and bring up some old sins and, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it's all because he wants to interrupt your communication with the Lord. But the Bible teaches, now, let me remind you that this study is what saith the Lord. Anything that we talk about in this study has to do with what does the Bible say, not what does Brother Thurman think, or what you think about it, or our opinions. We're studying about what the Bible says, okay? So it's commanded and it's privileged, and it's a privilege. Let's talk about the commanded part. We are commanded to pray. Listen to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, does that sound like that's a suggestion or if you want to? No. No, it doesn't. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. And this was the conclusion. This is what he wrapped up with. That men ought always to pray. That's what we ought to do. And how long ought we to do it? Always. Men ought always to pray. And who said that? The Lord Jesus. And not to faint. Don't quit. Don't give up. Men ought always to pray. We're commanded to pray. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. So we're supposed to be to the point to where we talk with the Lord because the Lord wants us to talk with Him, and because we know that the Lord has commanded us to come and talk to Him. You know, and it's a good thing that the Lord did command us to do it, because if we obey Him, then we'll go and we'll talk with Him, even when we don't feel like it, which is most of the time. The enemy's not ever going to let you try to... there's going to be times that you're going to have the most joy in talking with the Lord, and it's going to be so sweet and so precious, and there's no way around that, and the devil can't take that from you. Most of the time, getting to the Lord and talking, just getting to the Lord and yielding to pray is like trying to drag a mule out of the field. It's the hardest thing in the world, and why should it be? I mean, why should it be hard for... I mean, if it's your choice and that's what you want to do and you want to talk to God, I mean, why is that so hard? It's hard because we have an enemy. And we have three enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil that wants to stop us from talking to God. But it's commanded. The Lord commands us to come to Him. And what a wonderful God that would do something like that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer. Don't just, it's not that we just should ought always to pray, but that we don't stop. We continue talking with the Lord. Continue doing it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Does that sound like a suggestion? It's a commandment. Now, of course, we know that we know that the Lord doesn't mean that we just continually pray and always talking, even when we're working and when we're buying groceries and when we're doing. But, you know, when you get to where you're talking with the Lord regular, it gets like that. It gets to where your heart is in the attitude of prayer with the Lord all the time. It's not that you're talking with Him all the time, but that you're ready to talk to Him at any given moment. And that's being in fellowship with the Lord. That's walking with Him. That's walking in the Spirit. That at any given time, if the Lord said, hey, Thurman, I could turn to the Lord and say, yeah, Lord, what is it? Any second. And any second I wanted to say something to Him, I could speak it right then. That's what it's talking about. Pray without ceasing. Be ready in a second to be able to communicate with the Lord. I mean, it's kind of like you're riding down the road and it's snowing real hard. And here comes these two trucks by you. And it's almost a whiteout. And you're thinking to yourself, these trucks shouldn't be going this fast in the snow. And then they disappear ahead of you in the snow and you can't see them. And then when you get a little farther down the road, you start seeing these flashing lights and everything. And there's a wreck. One truck has lost sight of the other one, and he didn't know he was braking, and they're running. It happens all the time. And he runs into the back of the other one, and there's a big crash and accident on the thing, and one of the on the interstate, and then there's somebody laying there bleeding to death and might die. You don't need to be the time that you can do them the very best when you could go to prayer and talk with the Lord immediately on their behalf. You don't need to be confessing your sins and telling God that you're so, and going through all of that so that you can get on praying ground with the Lord, you see. That's what it's talking about. Pray without ceasing. Talk with the Lord all the time, or be ready to be able to talk with the Lord all the time as He's your best friend. And He's your most sincere friend. and a friend that's never, ever let you down, ever, and will not let you down. And he is the most sincere person that you're ever going to communicate with. And he won't never lie to you. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. We're commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, either the Bible means what it's saying when we're reading it, and I believe the Bible. I believe every word of it. I know God's word is true, and I know it's supernatural. The Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. Those words are alive because they come from an eternal God. They were inspired. They were breathed out of his mouth. And he's a deity. His words are deified. They're supernatural. And when you get to knowing the Word of God and seeing the power in the Word of God and what it can do, you'll agree with that. And you probably already have seen that, haven't you? But it saved us, didn't it? Pray without ceasing. Prayer is commanded. It's commanded, and it's also a privilege. The Bible says men ought always to pray, continue in prayer, pray without ceasing, and ask. Ask. When's the last time you asked the Lord for something? Really? Just today? Okay. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now we're going to get a little farther into talking about how you talk to God and how the Bible says that we ought to talk with the Lord. And after we get through with this, it's going to fall all the way back to where we talked about where those children talk to the Lord. And it's common sense how you talk to the Lord if you realize him and realize him as being God. And you reverence him as God, and you love him as God, and you fear him as God, then you'll talk to him as God. I shivered when that guy said that. Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. I shivered. I thought, man, you're lucky to be alive. You don't talk to God like that. And, of course, when he was telling me that, he was saying, I'm the luckiest person in the world because, and he was shivering when he said that after he repented and got right with the Lord and thought, you know, the Lord is merciful because I said this to God. So, why should we pray? Because it's commanded. Secondly, that's not all. We have the privilege to pray. You know, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves when it comes to thinking that it's time to pray. It's time to go to prayer meeting. And we got to have prayer meeting. No. It's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to pray. You stop and think about who we're talking to. You're talking to God. And when you get into a communication with the Lord and you get to where you can talk to him easily and you really have communication with him, open communication with him, and you're glad of it, you'll find that one of the most precious things that you have in your life is that you always have somebody to talk to no matter what, no matter what situation, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on. If you're being tempted, if you're being tried, if you're having a wonderful time and you want to thank somebody or your children are going through something and you need to talk to somebody, He is there for everything. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to address somebody that can do something about it whenever we need to. What a privilege. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." You notice the Lord didn't ask anything for himself in that verse. He said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive." Why? That your joy might be full. You know, the Lord wants us to come and talk to Him so that we are better. I know the Lord enjoys talking to us when we're sincere and we're not trying to manipulate Him and treat Him like He's some kind of piece of dirt or a rag doll or a dog that we command around and tell, "Well, Lord, you know you should have blabbity, blabbity, blab." Man, you better watch out who you're talking to. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full." It's a privilege to talk with the Lord. It's a privilege to pray. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let me tell you something. If God wasn't so kind to us to allow us to boldly come to His throne and even tell Him we're sorry for our sins, what miserable, miserable, miserable folks we would be. Do you know how much of a privilege it is just to be able to tell God that you're sorry about sinning? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's prayer. If we confess our sins, that's talking to the Lord. You know what a privilege it is to be able to pray that to the Lord alone? Instead of having to shoulder all that stuff and carry out, "Well, Brother TV, I don't do all that much sinning, and I ain't got that much weight." You liar. You liar. Yes, you do. You got just as much weight on you as everybody else. You got just as much sin that you need to confess to the Lord, and you need to be able to talk to the Lord about that. And you know what? He's such a kind God that He's willing to sit there and listen to you confess it and then forgive you for it and to cleanse you from all your sin and say, "Okay, let's do better next time." What a privilege. What a privilege. And not just talking about that, but even the good things. Coming and rejoicing and telling the Lord, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. How did you know, Lord? Thank you for taking care of my children. Thank you for giving me the money to pay my bills, Lord. You are so gracious. You just come at the right time. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for taking me out from under the yoke of this world and had so much weight on me. And giving me the Lord Jesus' yoke that's easy. Thank you for the promises in your word that I don't have to worry about death anymore." I mean, everything and anything, it's a privilege to talk to the Lord about. Just having Him there and Him making Himself available to us that we can talk to Him about anything and everything. That's tremendous. The Bible teaches that prayer is a command and that it's a privilege. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we are invited to come, what? Say it with me. Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord has grace and He has mercy there available for us. any time that we want to come. And when we want to come, we don't have to get anybody's permission. We can come because the Lord said that we can come anytime, boldly. It's kind of like a preacher said one time that his daddy, speaking about the Lord, that his daddy owned the company. And any time he wanted to go into his daddy and speak with his daddy, he didn't have to go through the secretary or have the guards tell him that he needs to show ID and this, that, and the other. He just walked right on past them, walked right on past the secretary, opened the door, and walked right on in to daddy. And said, "Hey, daddy." And he says, "Hey, son, come on in." In a big, super business scenario. That's kind of like it is with the Lord. Come boldly. Walk right on past the secretary, right on past the guards, right on past everybody else, and go right on into daddy's office. He's called Abba. And that's an affectionate way of saying Lord and saying it as, like you would say, daddy. It's kind of like when you go to prayer and you say, Lord. Instead of saying, Lord, you say, Daddy. And he turns and says, Yes. It's the affectionate way as you're talking to the Lord as your daddy. And he is. He's our heavenly Father. Excuse me. So far, we've talked about why should I pray? Well, we should pray because it's a command. And we should pray because it is a privilege. Now, I didn't say that to you. The Bible says that to you. The Bible says continue in prayer. It says pray without ceasing. It's not suggesting that. It's giving you orders. But it's giving you orders for the right reasons. The Lord said, the Lord knows you can't do without Him. We are creatures created by the Creator, and we need Him. I don't know how anybody lives on this earth without the Lord. What a miserable life that is, isn't it? You remember? Okay, let's move into another category, talking about prayer. How do I pray? The last thing that we talked about was what is prayer on the last recording, and we just got through with why should I pray. All right, what about how? How do I pray? Do you know how to pray? Is there a specific kind of praying that we need to be doing? I mean, do we need to adopt certain postures? Do we need to? Is there a certain tone of your voice you need to talk with the Lord in? And how do I pray? How do I pray? Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," talking about the Lord Jesus, "when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And then in another place, in Luke chapter 11, we was just reading there, in verse 2 and 4, it says, "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now that was Luke's what Luke heard, and he wrote down that he heard the Lord say in his version of writing it. And then Matthew also wrote the same thing in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 13. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." This is the Lord answering the question to teach us to pray. Now remember, one thing that we need to learn about rightly dividing the Word of God is that this is not the Lord's Prayer. Not for the Christian. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord teaching these apostles to pray in a manner that they requested, that he's answering, but it is to the Jews. Everyone he's talking to right there is pork abstaining, temple worshiping Jews. Every one of them had beards. Every one of them was going under the law. None of them was under grace yet, as far as being saved by grace and being born again. All of them were Jews under the law. And you got to understand that right here, when he's talking about this, he's talking, this is a model prayer that he has given them, an example of how they should pray. But he's talking to the Jews, and he's not talking to the body of Christ. This is to the Jews. All right. It said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask of him this noble thing when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And in response, Jesus gave them this model prayer. It's commonly misnamed the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ's prayer is his personal prayer, and there is a personal prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, praying for us in the Scriptures. It's found in John chapter 17. That's the Lord praying for us as Christians in the body of Christ, in the body. Now, you can read this in Luke and in Matthew, and it's not the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer Jesus gave to the apostles' request. They asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. They heard him praying, and they watched Jesus pray many, many times, and they asked him to teach them to pray. Now, this prayer that we just got through reading in Luke and in Matthew, that the Lord gave them an example, a model of how they should pray, when he broke it down to them, this is a prayer that Jesus gave to them by request, and it was strictly given for the Jews and is not intended for the New Testament child of God. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus prayed for the New Testament believers is found in John chapter 17. And you can turn over there and read that, and you're going to find out, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. That is the Lord's Prayer that he's praying just before he goes to the cross. And he prays that for every one of us. And it's important that you not get these prayers confused. The prayers in Matthew, the Lord's so-called Lord's Prayer, it's a model prayer is what it is. And he was speaking strictly to Jews right then, and it was strictly given to the Jews. He had no intention for that for us. The Bible says to rightly divide it. And when you study the Scriptures, you'll find out that right there is them saying that's the Lord's Prayer. I grew up thinking that too. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I never said it like I was talking with the Lord from my heart. I'm just repetitious blabbity blab. And that's what most people do with that. But that is not the Lord's Prayer. That's not prayer to the Lord. That was a model prayer given. He said, teach us to pray. So the Lord was giving them instructions on how they ought to talk to the Father. But they were under the law, and they were Jews, and completely different. We'll get into more of that in another part of a study, but that's a doctor. This is things that we don't need to study right now in prayer, but just trust me that's what that is. Go look it up and see. Look at Luke chapter 17 or John chapter 17, and you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ actually praying and talking to the Father and asking and making requests for things and talking with the Father person to person. This is not a prayer. It don't even sound like a prayer. He said in Luke, he said, and he said unto them, when ye pray, do it like this. In Matthew, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. They asked him to teach us to pray. He gave them specifics and instructions on how they ought to pray. This is not a prayer. It's not a prayer. And it's not anything that any child of God needs to be praying. And we can get into that, what Jesus said there, and you can see some things that are not for the child of God, are not for saved people, born again people. This is for the Jews. And we can see that and study it, but we're not going to do that right now. John chapter 17 is where you want to go to see the Lord Jesus Christ actually praying and actually praying for you. It's important not to get these prayers confused, so don't get them confused. We'll get into more of it as we go through this prayer, as we go through this study of prayer, and you'll see. But just know that that prayer is not for you, that it's not even a prayer anyway. It's instructions for prayer. So let's study some essentials for prayer. Now, we're talking about, remember our topic, how do I pray? How do I pray? All right, well, first of all, let's talk about the posture we should adopt when praying. Now, if you were going to pray and you were going to talk to the Lord, what posture would you think is appropriate? Most people would say, well, I think being on my knees on the side of a bed or on a chair or something like that, but definitely on my knees, showing the Lord some respect and honoring Him and bowing before Him. Is that what the Bible teaches? Does the Bible say and instruct us when it comes to praying or studying prayer? How do I pray? And when it comes to a posture, does the Bible tell us that we should be on our knees to pray? Now, we want to know what the Scriptures say, because that is our doctrine. That's our final authority, right? I mean, the reason I pray like I pray is because my final authority says that it is okay. Okay, what does your final authority, the Bible, God's Word, say concerning posture and what I should adopt when I'm praying? Do you know? Why don't you know? All right, you say, because we're studying and I'm waiting for you to shut up and tell me. All right, well, let's look in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And let's see what posture we can adopt whenever we're praying. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's talking about praying, He's talking about forgiving people, and He's talking about being forgiven by the Father. But He also mentioned one other thing. He mentioned a posture in there for talking to the Father. He said, "And when ye stand praying, forgive." So according to Mark chapter 11, verse 25, we may what? And pray. We may stand and pray. The Lord Jesus Christ said it Himself. So does our final authority teach us that it's okay for us to stand and pray? Yes, it does. Next. That's not all. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. The Bible says, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven." Let's read that again. "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven." So according to the Bible, if Solomon can do it, then that was fine for us to do it. our final authority says so, that Solomon did not get disciplined or get reprimanded for praying that way. So what was his posture that he adopted when he was praying? He was kneeling, right? So according to the Bible, we may stand and pray. And according to the Bible, it's okay to kneel and pray. In Ezra chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." The Bible says in Psalms to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. So it's okay for us to kneel and pray. Our final authority, the Word of God, the Bible, tells us that we may kneel and pray. And that's not all. Acts chapter 16, verse 13 says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." According to that verse right there, they went out by a riverside, outside of a building, out by a river, and they sat down. Why? Because they wanted to pray. The Bible says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made." They was going there to pray. "And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there, thither." So according to the Bible, we not only can, we not only can stand and pray, we can kneel and pray, but according to Acts, they went out and done what? We may sit and pray. Sit and pray. 1 Chronicles says that also. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16. "And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" He sat down and prayed and talked to the Lord. King David. Now, if King David did it and he didn't get reprimanded for it, then our final authority, our Bible teaches us that it's okay, that the Lord doesn't mind us sitting and praying. That's not all. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Of course, we know that's our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was in Gethsemane, and he prayed those three different times. One time, the Bible says he fell on his face and prayed. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's a lot of times that Moses did it, and Aaron did it. And the Bible talks about other people doing it also, the majesty and the holiness of the Lord and seeing the Lord cause them to fall on their face. And I imagine that means that they fell on their knees or maybe even laying down all the way down on their stomach and having. But either way, they had their face in the dirt and fell on their face. I think that's their face or their head to the ground, wouldn't you? But in a most humble and honoring way. But nevertheless, we're talking about how do I pray and what posture should I adopt? Well, the Bible says that we can stand and pray, that we can kneel and pray. It says that we can sit and pray. And also, it says that we may fall on our face and pray. Now, I've seen this with my own eyes. I learned how to worship God from an old saint woman that I have all the respect. I think she's about 94 or 95 right now as I'm speaking. And she was probably one of the most examples to me. I've had a lot of I've had several women that I really admired as godly women, and that's what nothing ugly about it at all, but very honorable. And you're talking about a Proverbs 31 woman. It is so special for a fellow to be able to look at a woman and see her walking before the Lord and fearing the Lord. But this was a woman that I very much respected, and she was probably in her late 80s. And I had walked up into knocked on the door, and her daughter was there with her, and she was looking after her, and she was still able to get around real slow on her feet, you know, and stuff like that. And when I walked in, I was going in to praise the Lord for something that had happened at the ministry that I was working at, running up there. And when I walked in to praise the Lord, both of them were coming down the hall, and they had just entered the room that I had entered in the kitchen there, in the dining area. And I said, praise the Lord, this and this and this and this. Well, immediately she heard that, and she said, praise the Lord, and she raised her right hand, and then immediately she went all the way to her knees. Now, I'm talking about an 89-year-old woman, went all the way to her knees and fell on her face to the ground, and she worshiped the Lord right there over what I was praising the Lord about, a blessing. I learned how to worship right there. Fell on her face and prayed. That's pretty neat, isn't it? We can stand and pray. We can kneel and pray, the Bible says. We may sit and pray. And the Bible says we can fall on our face and pray. There's a couple more. Exodus chapter 34, verse 8. The Bible says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. He made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Well, as far as Exodus right there and what I just read about Moses, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. What is a posture in that verse right there that we may adopt when we pray? We can bow our head. We can bow our head, just like we're standing there and all of us standing together, and we bow our head and our head alone. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth. He was probably standing up, and he just bowed his head down toward the earth and worshiped. We can pray like that. We do quite a bit of praying like that, don't we? So it's not wrong to bow your head standing, but the Bible says that we may do that. We can fall on our face, and we may bow and pray. And then finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible tells us there's a lot of postures about praying, isn't it? You know, that's the kind of God that we would expect to have anyway, that the Lord wouldn't make us some kind of hut 2, 3, 4 religious, I don't know how you want to put it, militant, bow your head and bow one knee and turn left and ride a donkey backwards around the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Our God, if we want to talk to the Lord, according to our Bible and our final authority, it's showing us that we can just about talk to Him anytime and anywhere and anyhow, can't we? But one thing that we need to notice is that they're all reverent. And they all show respect. And they all show humility. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So the Bible says that we may pray with uplifted hands. Now, We got a lot of people do not pray that way because of the charismatic movement and stuff like that, and they kind of tarnished it, I guess. But it's not unscriptural to raise your hands and pray to the Lord. The Bible says, "I will therefore." This is New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul's doctrine, that's our doctrine, under Paul's, the New Testament. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So you see, we may do that, according to our Bible, our final authority. Aren't you glad? So, let's recap. What posture should I adopt when I pray? How do I pray? Well, the Bible says it's okay for us to stand and pray, doesn't it? We've seen that. We've heard that. And we believe that. It says that we can also kneel and pray and be scriptural and it all right with the Lord. It says that we can sit and pray. It says that we may fall on our face and pray. It says that we may bow and pray. And it also says that we may pray with uplifted hands. Now, from our study of what the Scriptures say, what they say, what do you conclude about the posture we should adopt when we pray? What have we learned? What truth have we learned studying the Bible, reading those verses, and finding out what the Lord accepts as far as posture when praying? What do we conclude? Well, it's all right to come to the Lord as long as it's what? Sincere? Did you see sincerity in those postures? Yes. As long as it's humble. Would you say that? Yes. There's humility in those. Falling on your face is humility, is humbling. We may sit and pray. I mean, how would the elderly do it any other way? I mean, I just told you about an 89-year-old woman that fell on her knees. That's what impressed me and taught me how to worship. Her daughter had to help her up. But she fell right down on those knees and down on that face. But what if you couldn't and all you could do is sit? We have a generous and kind God that lets us come talk to Him that has absolutely nothing to do with any kind of generic hocus-pocus religious blabbity-blab junk about being religious rather than coming sincerely, right? And that we have a wonderful God that really does want to talk to us, and that If you're in a car wreck, I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to adopt any kind of, you're going to pray and you're in a bent up car and stuck and everything else. You might be upside down and twisted up like a pretzel. I don't think the Lord would mind you coming to Him in prayer then, would you? Of course not. We have a wonderful God, and posture is important because it should show sincerity and humility and fear and respect and show womanhood and show manhood. But as far as religious, 2, 3, 4, my father beat your father at dominoes and all that kind of stuff. Lord's not interested in any of that as far as posture goes. He's not interested in that. Okay, so what have we went over today? We have said, why should I pray? Well, we ought to pray because it's commanded. We ought to pray because it's a privilege. We've seen the Scriptures in that. And we read the Bible. We have the privilege to pray, the Bible says. How do I pray? We talked about. Well, when it comes to posture, now we're not done with this section here. We're going to stop. We're going to pick it up on the next one. How do I pray? But we did talk about the posture that I should adopt. And we've seen six or seven different postures as exampled in the scriptures that our forefathers and our brothers and sisters and Brother Paul and some of the others adopted, the posture that they adopted, sitting down out by the river and praying and falling on their face before the Lord and worshiping and praying and bowing their head while they were standing and sitting and kneeling I'm glad our God is like that, aren't you? You can pray just about any old way that you want to, but the important things that we found out is not the posture, right? Do you think there's a posture that you should not assume? There might be some, as long as it's if it's disrespectful, or it shows that your posture is kind of flippant about talking to the Lord, and you're showing no respect, no fear, and like that, you know. So, but does the Lord look at posture as far as how do we pray and our posture that we should adopt? Does he look at it like he would look at it like the law rather than grace? Of course not. There's nothing law about our posture. Under the law that you should be on one knee and your toes should be pointed this way and not this and that and the other. There's nothing like that in the scriptures. The Bible has taught us in these different ways that we can have any kind of posture we want as long as the important things from the heart are shown, right? Okay. All right, well, we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up some more about this how do I pray. We'll talk about to whom do I address my prayers and whose name are we to pray. Does the Bible say that? Does it teach that? In whose power are we to pray? Does it teach that? What about a right attitude in prayer? We just got through talking about that just a minute ago, but does the Bible talk about your attitude when you're praying? Well, we're going to see, and we're going to look in the scriptures and see what it says, okay? All right, let me give you these scriptures. You got your pencil? All right, we started out talking about why should I pray. Okay, here are the scriptures. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And then we went into how do I pray, and here are the scriptures that we've looked at so far concerning how do I pray and posture. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. I don't know why I did that. I guess, anyway. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, and Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. Those were on one posture. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And also 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And those are the scriptures. That's where we'll stop, and we'll pick up on our next recording, our next lesson on prayer. I hope you've enjoyed this lesson today, that you've been straightened up on some things, that you've got the Lord's permission and the Lord's authority behind you concerning why should we pray and how do we pray? The ABCs. The ABCs of Christian growth. Did you know these things? I didn't before the Lord showed me these things in the Scriptures, and I'm glad that I know them, aren't you? Okay, well, then we'll stop right there, and we will pick up on our next one. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I appreciate you listening to and listening in and honoring the Lord and sitting down and studying His Word on purpose. God bless you for that. And we'll get back together and talk some more about prayer real soon. And don't you quit. Don't you ever quit. All the way to the end. Till we see the Lord, right? God bless you. Talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.